clear on that? You're not nodding your heads. Was that so hard to understand you just didn't get it? Raise your hand. Come on. Okay, let me repeat it. Get this point, that a gene, which is a portion of the ladder, has the information for your own cell to make whatever protein you need. Each gene, the cell makes a different protein. Got that? Now, the virus that causes COVID, you've all hear this, has these spike proteins sticking out all over the place, correct? And the idea, and I got to be very careful with this because there are people on both sides of this question. The idea behind the vaccine was elegant. The idea was that let's get that gene that codes for or has the information to make the spike protein. Y'all still with me? And let's stick that in your blood, and it will eventually end up inside your cells, and your cells will say, oh, hi, here, I'll make something from your information. And what will the cell make? The spike! Because that protein codes for the spike. Are y'all with me on that? Now, then the idea is that spike would get out of your cell and that your own body made. Y'all with me on this? It'd get out of your cells, start circulating in your bloodstream, and your body would recognize it as an unplanned protein in your body. So what does your body do with that? What's the word we use? Your immune system builds chemicals, most of them proteins, to attack that thing and tear it apart. Now that your body recognizes spike proteins, by the way, this is not the virus. Are y'all with me? Standard vaccines over the years, you actually get a virus that causes some kind of flu. You kind of mess it up a little bit, its DNA, so it doesn't make people sick. But you copy that virus, billions, and put those copied viruses, we call them, compromised, that's not quite the right word, but altered, so that virus won't make you sick, but it looks almost exactly like the one that would make you sick. Your body sees that virus that they stuck in your blood and makes proteins that will destroy it, so when the real virus comes by, it gets destroyed. You follow that pathway? That's the traditional vaccine. And the reason so many people said, even now most of them really didn't know what they were talking about, this is not a vaccine. What they meant was, it wasn't the typical thing of taking a virus and altering its DNA a little bit so it doesn't make you sick, and using the virus to get your body to build antibodies against it. Follow that? That's a virus. But what they did with the COVID thing, they didn't use a virus, they just got the DNA piece that codes for the spike and put it in your blood. Y'all with me on that? And it gets inside your cell. Your cell has the machinery to make proteins when it has a gene copy, and so your body started making spikes, and they get all through your body. Do you understand, even though I don't support the idea of using it, do you understand why it was an elegant idea? Do you know what I mean by elegant? Pretty clever, right? Now, you'll forgive me, those of you who promote the vaccine, and I have no argument with you. As a scientist, you tell me about that, and I say, you don't have any idea what the long-term effect of that's going to be. Are y'all with me? And if that's not your opinion, it's okay. I'm just telling you, as a scientist, I know that you're doing something that we don't know what's going to happen long term. Might it be perfectly all right? Sure! We actually have peptidases in our bloodstream, which cut up proteins. You put almost any protein in your blood, and your own body will cut it up. And your own body puts proteins in your blood, and they do their job, but before long they get cut up too! It's an amazing story. Nevertheless, that was all free. You don't even have to pay for that story. But wait a minute. Woo! So scientists took a E. coli. You know that word. It's just the name of a certain kind of bacteria. This thing You can easily see this in a microscope. And they found out which part of the DNA of that organism, that cell, actually, this is not a virus, folks, this is a cell, a living cell. A lot of these grow in your colon and mine, is that correct? And they have a purpose there. And they took that, let me correct myself. They cut the DNA in half, and I should use a different color. I'm not sure I have a different color, pretend. And they put in there the gene that codes for insulin. What do you suppose the bacteria started making? It started making insulin. Starting in 1978, this was perfected. The government made the scientists test it on individuals for 5 years. And in 1983, from then on, let me back up and say, up until then, little kids that got type 1 diabetes died a horrible death. Horrible. I'm talking a century ago, more than a century. And physicians and scientists got the idea to take pig and cow insulin out of an animal and try to purify it a bit so there's no other, no other particles of whatever in there. And that insulin is how we saved kids' lives for years and years and years. Starting about 1923, I think, don't hold me to that date, we started giving kids insulin from cows and pigs to save their lives. Are y'all with me on this? Now, the insulin is similar to our own, but it's not exactly the same, but it worked. But from 1983 on, 5 years after this was discovered, all the insulin that you get if you're a type 2 diabetic, and there's a, I got to be careful not to get into this too deep, but scientists have figured out how to adjust the DNA a little bit, and you all kind of know this. You have long-acting and short-acting and Humulin and a dozen different kinds of insulin that your doctor can use to try to help you control your sugar. Y'all with me on this? It's all made where? What? Inside of E. coli bacteria. And then we let those little bacteria live and multiply and make a bunch, and we kill them all and purify the insulin and put it in people's bodies. Isn't that clever? You might say, that's crazy, but it does save people's lives. Okay, I got to quit this fooling around. So type 1 diabetics, especially with pumps that constantly measure their blood sugar, do quite well, although, on average, the type 1 diabetic, with all that care, will live about 10 years less than the person just like them who doesn't have type 1 diabetes. So the culprit that's causing type 1 diabetes is a virus that's found in cow's milk. I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Now what happened? There we go. We used to think it might be a virus. We know that's not the case. It is cow's milk that's causing it. And type 2 diabetes is caused simply from this, folks, too many calories. Somebody tell me, raise your hand and give me one of the three things that you eat, whether it's animal or plant, that gives you calories. What are the three foodstuff that give you energy, calories? Carbohydrate would be a better answer. Okay? Somebody said it over here. What's the second one? Protein. What's the other one? Fat. That's it, folks. Those are the only things your body can burn, if you will. It's a little bit of a metaphor to give you energy. And for some reason, my screen in the back, now it's going. And now it's turned off. But you can see it. So let me show you how crazy this is. You got some ideas, Ron? No, they can't see it. Yeah. Oh, it quit up there. Okay, I see. I see. Now,
you got it back there, but you don't have it up there.
Here it is now. So, off again, on again. Okay. Here's the problem, folks. There's only three sources of calories. Is that correct? And what did I tell you last night about how they compare in how much calories they are? Anybody remember? I'm a terrible teacher. Fat has more than twice as many calories per gram, per pound, whatever you want, as either carbohydrate or protein, which have the same. Y'all with me on this? So when people put on more pounds, and I say this kindly, I'm not picking on anybody, it's because they're getting too many calories, almost always. Now, sometimes there's some genetic issues going on that it's really tough for them. But in general, friends, you put people on a plant-based diet that weigh too much, and their weight will rather rapidly return to normal. And it has to be a whole plant diet. What did you learn last night that most Americans have no clue about is one of the biggest problems in health issues today? What did you learn last night? Somebody said it. The plant oils. We're taught that those are healthy, and actually they're bad for us because they're pure fat, not only that, and have so many calories, but not only that, because they come oxidized. Listen, saturated fat does not oxidize at normal temperatures. Give me an example of some saturated fat. Say it again. Oh, butter, okay. Meat, that's not narrow enough. Meat has lots of different things in it. Pardon me? Well, coconut oil. All of the plant oils. Lard is one I was thinking of that you know about those things. Anyway, let me show you how Americans get so many calories. And you know this, folks. What is the percentage of people in America that are overweight? I know that number. It's way up there in around 70%. In any case, notice this. The same weight of bacon, almost 500 calories, this is a 3-ounce serving, potato chips or corn chips, or a potato itself. Whoa! Or just a plain slice of bread, or some broccoli. Do you see, friends, why Americans are getting sick? I know that you must like chips as well as I do. I haven't done this for 60 years probably, but there was a time in my life I could eat a family-sized bag all by myself at one sitting. I know you've never done that. By the way, Neva's going to show you how to make healthy potato chips by just baking them. It's really fun and very tasty. It's actually the salt that gives them the taste. But look at this. Look at what happens when you eat just whole plant foods, friends. Isn't that amazing? Is there some fat in the broccoli? Talk to me. Yeah. All plants have fat. Get that! Is there fat in the bread? Why do people say bread is fattening? The bread is not fattening, folks. It's what you put on the bread. Are you all with me? It's crazy how uninformed Americans are. Don't eat bread. That's bad for you. Bread is wonderful food, folks. Anything made with a plant, as long as the oil is not oxidized, is wonderful food. Amazing stuff, folks. Okay, let's keep going. I want to get to the place where you see why dementia happens. By the way, what's the best food? This drawing by an artist, you can see the top is cut off the cell, and it's these little blue gadgets that I'm talking about. The artist has cut the top off of that one and the corner out of this one. These little blue gadgets, they're not blue. He colored them that way so you could see them. Those are the furnaces. This is a metaphor where fat, carbohydrate, or protein is metaphor burned to give us energy. Y'all with me on that? Some of you know the name. The name is not important for our discussion. But that's the furnace, if you will, where the food is used. And so the question is, what's the best food? And this will blow your mind because the answer is sugar. And I'm going to show you why. You say, sugar's poison. No, folks. God put sugar, listen to this, in all plants. Most of the sugar is in the form of a chain, and what do we tend to call that? Carbohydrate. But lots of plants have some just simple sugar molecules in them, and you know this, a apple, you like it when it's ripe because it's what? Sweet! Because as the apple ripens, some of the chains of carbohydrate in there break up into pieces, and now they're simple sugars, and we like that, don't we? And now let me make clear what I'm saying here. I'm not talking about this kind of sugar or this. This thing is crazy. It's passing up. I showed about 10 different places where you get too much sugar or sugar at all that's refined. But this is the kind of sugar you want. Is that corn filled with sugar? In fact, what do we call that corn? We call it sweet corn because if it's ripe enough, it's sweet. Because a whole bunch of the carbohydrate, you eat that ear of corn before that has happened, and it doesn't taste very good. But when that carbohydrate gets broken up into sugars, ooh, is that okay for you to eat? Yes, because listen to me. The vitamins and the minerals and the phytochemicals and the fiber that are in that ear are perfectly designed for you to have all that sugar. Are y'all with me on that? And here's another one. Now you've heard that potatoes are fattening. Not true, folks. Potatoes are almost pure carbohydrate. Question, is there any fat in potatoes? Yes. Very much? No. Are there vitamins in there? Minerals? Fiber? It's perfect food, friends. The reason that Americans think that potatoes are fattening, it's what you put in the crack. About 300 calories worth of butter, that's the average, and maybe 150 to 200 calories in gravy, because it's full of fat the way they make it. And so that potato is fattening because of what you add to it, but potato itself, listen, I shouldn't tell you this story, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to keep you here longer than I promised. One of my professors in graduate school took about 10 of his PhD candidates for a degree in nutrition. The professor had read in the literature that there was a tribe in South America that was getting 97% of their calories from sweet potatoes. It's like all they ate was sweet potatoes. And he thought, I'm going to take some students down there. We're going to study those people and help them get a better program. So they went down there and pitched their tents and got their computers, and they wrote down everything those people did 24 hours a day. And they had a hard time finding anything wrong with those people. And one day, one of the students said, hey, look, they're not getting enough water. Let's show them they should drink water. Well, it turns out that they packed up their bags and went home. And they were getting almost all their calories from potatoes, if you will. Are you all with me on this? Perfect food. When you don't refine it and don't put a whole bunch of stuff in the crack. Here's the story, and I'll show you this again in a minute. I think all of you know what that is, don't you? And when you, I should have started with this. If you take, I was going to use rocket fuel. I'll show you the picture. In the shuttle, there's a tank. And the upper part of the tank is liquid oxygen, and the bottom part of the tank is liquid hydrogen. And there's twice as much of this as there is of that, because when you burn hydrogen in the presence of oxygen, you make H2O. Got it? What is H2O? It's water. So the hydrogen and the oxygen combine chemically, it releases tremendous amounts of heat. In other words, those three rockets, not the boosters, but the three rockets at the bottom of the shuttle rocket, all that's coming out of them is water vapor, because the scientists figured out that you could get more energy per pound of propellant if you burned oxygen and hydrogen together. You got it? And so the point is that these natives who were eating these sweet potatoes were making lots and lots of water They didn't need to drink water because they were making so much water because the potato is almost pure carbohydrate. Got it? Were they getting energy from those potatoes? Whew, they hold their potatoes all day long in the hot sun. Okay. By the way, I love potatoes. I can take a potato. I got to tell you a story. Can you stand a story? You all know that my wife and I for years have done these six-day Weimar style live-in programs. One day there was a millionaire that came, about 20 people, and he found out during that week that I was a professional pilot and hired me to fly him to Alaska in his airplane. He paid me a large sum. I would have done it free. I would rather fly an airplane than eat food. Did I tell you that already? And so we got to Alaska, and they all went fishing, he and his friends, and eventually when we were done, after about a week, timed us to go home, but they wanted to go down and have some halibut. Anybody know about the little town called Homer in Alaska? And there's a spit there that must have 100 seafood restaurants, one right beside the next for about, 2 miles. So they said, "Hey, Jim, you want to come?" I said, "Well, I'm hungry." So there we are driving down there. They pulled into one, and each of them ordered, and the lady turned to me, and I said, "By any chance, would you have just a plain baked potato?" She said, "Sure." "Oh, wonderful. Just bring it. Don't put anything on it. Just bake." She said, "Okay." I said, "Is there any chance that you might have some just plain boiled brown rice?" And that was crazy to ask that, right? She said, "Well, we have half and half brown and white." What do you think I said? Wasn't I a hypocrite to eat some white rice? I don't think so. I said, "Just bring me a nice bowl of boiled rice, but don't put anything on it." "Okay. And maybe you could bring me a little bowl with some lettuce and a tomato cut up. Don't put anything on it." What am I wanting her not to do? I don't want that dressing on there, which is mainly oil. Okay. So everybody's eating. And I don't know if you know this about millionaires, but they get that way largely because they're cheapskates. Have you thought about that? And I love this man. Don't misunderstand me. We are very close friends. If you talk to him, he'll tell you, the brackets saved my life. His cancer just quit growing. It's an amazing story, friends. And he knew he had months and maybe at most a year. Anyway, so now the lady comes with the tab, right? And here's this millionaire. He says to his grandson, of course his grandson had a couple of beers along with his meal. He said, I can't remember his name now. He said, "You cost me $49.75. And he turned to his doctor friend. You cost me $44.50 or whatever it was. And he said, "Mine was $42 or $43. And he turned to me and says, "Jim, yours was $4.25. Was that cool or not? All right. Listen, I've done this many times. People want to go out to eat, and I just take a chance that I can find something. And I'll tell you, I can take that potato and slice it and just a little salt and scoop and eat. It's just, to me, it's just delicious. And then I'll put a little more salt in there after I've taken one layer out. You understand what I'm saying? And you say, "Oh, salt is bad. You heard me last night, friends. Am I right?" It's not bad. You need it. And of course, you don't want to get too much. All right. Here's another form of carbohydrate that's perfect. What about this one? This is page 19 in Seven Secrets. By the way, we thought you might want some books. We ordered them and they haven't come, so I don't know what's going to happen. But by the way, that piece of pastry in a normal restaurant or in your own home is pretty rich already. It's white flour, usually has an egg in there and some oil, right? And I don't know what, there we go. Now that's blueberries, but listen, for years, we made waffles at the restaurant with nothing more than oatmeal, water, and salt. We have fed hundreds of thousands of people with such a simple recipe. Now, Neva has diced it up some with a few little nuts or something or other, so it's a little richer than it used to be, but very healthy stuff. And this is blueberry sauce, and this is the ice cream. Where's Neva? Is she around? You going to show them ice cream tonight? We did it last night. Okay, very good. And so for a year, 10 years, from 10 o'clock in the morning till 2 in the afternoon, we had a Sunday brunch, and our feature was waffles with ice cream. We had a lot of other things too. So a high carb, low fat, low protein, folks, is the ideal diet. And that's what you get when you eat plants. Unrefined. Okay. Now the problem with fat and protein is they burn dirty. Let me just show you an article from a scientific magazine. When you're little, you remember those little guys in the cell? I didn't tell you the name. The little furnaces? Y'all with me? And I'm using a metaphor, burn, right? They use a chemical process to break down the fat or the protein and give you calories. But when you do that, it's like there's smoke in the chimney. But here's, I'm sorry for these big words, but just get the point. When you burn protein or fat, the little furnace makes ketones. Acetic acid, acetone, beta-hydroxybutyric acid. These are normal intermediates in lipid metabolism. Lipid means fat. Metabolism means you're burning it. And they accumulate in the blood and in the urine in abnormal amounts in conditions of impaired metabolism, like diabetes and other conditions. In other words, we should use fairly small amounts of fat and protein because of this kind of thing. Are you all with me on this? And that's what you get when you eat plants. Now, some of the plants are high in fat. There's four categories. What are they?
Olives.
Avocados. Somebody else? Huh? Well, nuts and seeds. Should we not eat those things? Oh, no, we should eat them, but maybe sparingly, right? Now, I would like peanut butter this thick on my bread. I make myself spread it thin. And, you can choose to do what you want. I just want you to know what's going on in this world. Now, there's the rocket. Do you see the hydrogen and oxygen? It's inside that big red tank. It's actually two tanks. Can you see that the H is twice the size of the O? Because when you... And by the way, carbohydrate gets its name because there's carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. That's where it gets its name. Sugar molecules are made up of nothing more than carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. And when you burn that, you get carbon dioxide and what? I'm sorry that it disappeared. I pressed the button maybe too many times. What happens to the carbon dioxide that forms when your little furnaces burn? Surely you know when you breathe out what's there. Carbon dioxide. Is that poisonous? If you only had carbon dioxide to breathe, would you die? Sure. In that sense, it's poisonous, all right? And if the carbon dioxide gets even too high in comparison to the oxygen in the room, but it is virtually never an issue. And, of course, the water is because those natives down there were eating high carb, low fat, low protein, Now, it would be nice if they drank water, but here they are all day out hoeing in the hot sun, and they get so much carbohydrate that they don't need it. Okay, this is the shape of a sugar molecule, and it has to get from the blood into the cell and get burned, if you will, metaphor, to give us energy. And we've talked about this. Here's where the connection is revealed about dementia. Let's say that this graph, I'm going to measure how much insulin people are getting on this line. This would be zero, and this would be more and more. And this is over time. So, it varies a little bit up and down. But on the average, even though there's a little more now, a little less later, depending on what I ate, so forth. But on the average, our body's, let's say, making this much insulin. Are y'all with me on what I'm trying to show? This could be over years, if you'd like. Now, the problem is that the way Americans are living, in order to control your blood sugar, the body has to make more and more insulin in order to keep the blood sugar normal. Are y'all with me? Do you know this is happening when it's happening in your body? The answer is no. So from here to here in time, what would your blood sugar be? Give me one word. Normal. Don't miss the point. I'm glad I asked that question. The body is making more and more insulin, so the blood sugar stays what? Normal. Y'all with me on this? Now, eventually, the pancreas fatigues. We use that word. We're quite certain is what happens, that pancreatic cells die because they're overworked, the cells that make insulin. So eventually, even though the body would like to make more and more to control the sugar, you follow me with what I'm drawing? It fatigues. And from this point on in time, what is the blood sugar like? Talk to me. It's abnormal. It's higher. Right? And is this symptomatic from here on? Say no. Y'all with me? There's no symptoms here. One day you're in the doctor's office, you or somebody, let's say, and they always take a blood sugar. They do chemistry tests on the blood and almost always test the sugar, or a urine sample would do it too. And whoops, your blood sugar's elevated. And so they say, we got to put you on some medication. Why don't the doctors say, we need to change your diet? By the way, if the diet was changed, would it fix the problem? Say yes. Y'all with me? Why does the doctor not tell the patient that? Actually, I'll tell you this. Every physician today in the world now are trained to say, you should change the way, you should change your diet and you should become more active. They all know they should say that. Do the people go home and do that? Not usually. So the doctors prescribe them medication. I don't blame the physicians. By the way, folks, there is no medication that will make a diabetic well. They'll tell the patient, we want to control your diabetes. It's a false idea. As soon as the sugar is high, every tissue in the body is slowly being destroyed. It's crazy how this is happening. Thank you for that. Could you all hear him? That's why I said I don't blame the physicians. I told you last night, people pay $6,500, they get well, and they go home, listen folks, they go home from Weimar meaning to do this. Y'all with me on this? And they leave our place. They leave our place well, and they go home meaning to do it. Oh, it's a heartbreak to even. We look at each other sometimes and say, why are we doing this? Most of them keep some of the things with them for long term, so maybe that's worth the effort. So, here's the interesting thing, friends. When the insulin is above normal, like this, that insulin is circulating everywhere in the body. It's in the blood. Y'all with me on that? The body puts the insulin your pancreas makes in your blood. And we now know, we have only known this a short time, that the principal thing that is causing dementia is elevated insulin in the bloodstream. Did you hear me? How many years does it take before the blood sugar becomes abnormal, during which time the insulin in the blood is above normal? Years. And even with medication, does the blood sugar become completely normal? No. I'm stopping because I want you to get the magnitude of this thing. I was talking to a physician friend just the other day, really a first-class physician. First class. I just have so much respect for his ability to diagnose. I'm talking about... I wasn't thinking about Tim, but he's one of those. I'm talking about... Again, I'm trying to say his name in Temecula. Our friend up on the hill. me too. He said to me, Jim, we were talking about these things. I'm sorry? Yeah, right. He said to me, Jim, somehow we got to talking about these kind of things. He said, Jim, and I say this kindly, friends, because some of you are suffering from this. Everybody that's out there that's overweight has too much insulin in their bloodstream. What percentage of Americans are overweight? Way up there. It's a hard thing to know when you're overweight, but I hope that you would be encouraged if you are. Tim, not Tim. Oh, Don Kimes. Yeah, okay, thanks, dear. And I mention him because he's such a knowledgeable, outstanding physician, even though he has to deal with Americans like most physicians do. Now, this is why, folks, Alzheimer's disease, and it's going to be an official medical term, this is why it's being called, that is to say, this is why this is why Alzheimer's disease is being called type 3 diabetes. It's an amazing story, friends. And I don't want to scare people into doing better. I hope you choose to do better. Please say amen. All right. Let's pass this up. Free fatty acids. Let me get to a slide here that I'm going to turn the volume off because I'm going to start and stop it. A friend of mine is a very famous physician. Let's see, I can turn the volume off like that. There we go. And I'm going to start and stop it. All right, let me show you something on the board for just a second, if I can find the pen I was using. This layer that looks like a bunch of little balls, and then there's these little lines and another bunch of little balls. Are y'all with me what I'm describing? Is actually cellular wall. So imagine it making a big circle to make the cell. Are y'all with me on that? And above the little white balls is outside the cell, and down below is inside the cell. The red things sticking out are insulin receptors. Some of you know about this, but just for the sake of interest, let's pretend that this is not an E. coli cell. This is one of your cells, my cells. And hundreds of thousands of proteins are sticking out, some of them sitting on the top, some of them hanging across the cell membrane. Let me draw two lines. Do you know what I mean by the two lines, everybody? I'm talking about those two layers you see there, right? And many of these proteins, we call them receptors, because they are able to grab some chemical passing by that they're shaped. And proteins, I wish you could just remember this forever, proteins work because of their shape. So we make hundreds of thousands of different proteins, our bodies do, and they each have a certain shape to do a certain job, kind of like a key in a lock, see? And so here are these insulin receptors sticking up there, and what happens is, see if I can make this play and start and stop it with, oh dear, what's the deal there? Let me try that. Oh, that's terrible. This is so cool. Why will it not play? It doesn't want to play. Oh, that is tragic. That is such a good... there's the play button. And it doesn't want to play. Why do things do this? Oh, it's just so good. You've got to see this. I don't. Say again? I tried that. It always plays. Why won't it play tonight? Okay, you're going to have to imagine this. I'm sorry, dear? I'm not sure. I'll just describe it for you. It's such a cool video. What's happening? Well, I'll try anything. I don't want to waste people's time. That's the only problem. Yeah. Of course, escape takes it out of play mode in Keynote, and that's when the little play button showed up, but when I click it, it doesn't play. So try to imagine this. The way your body controls blood sugar is this red thing sticking up there, it's a protein, and along comes some insulin and fastens to that insulin receptor, causing a chemical signal to travel down into the cell that says to the cell, and I'm going to use a lay term, send me sugar grabbers. And as a result of that chemical message, the cell starts making a protein which goes up and opens up the cell wall so sugar, not the blood, just the sugar, can pour into the cell. Got it? So if you can get the sugar to pour from the blood into the inside the cell, what would happen to the amount of sugar in your blood? It would decrease. And the body controls the amount of sugar in the blood with that mechanism. Got it? So the cells make the proteins that are insulin receptors, and the insulin hooks up to them, signal, send me sugar grabbers, and the sugar pours into the cell. Works perfectly. Problem is this. When people eat too much fat, fatty acids, which are part of the fat, get inside the cell, especially muscle cells, and collect kind of under the inner line, right under the wall, like along in here. And what happens, and in the film, see this little yellow thing right there? Say yes. And another one. In the film, those increase in number till there's just a whole bunch of them right under the lining. And when the insulin comes and hooks to the insulin receptor and the chemical signals, which is trying to say, send me sugar grabbers, it is blocked. Listen to this, folks. That signal is blocked because of the presence of those fatty acids. Got it? So the cell, which is hungry for sugar, perfect fuel, are y'all with me on that? Cannot get it because the fatty acids are blocking the signal. Got it? And we have only known this for maybe 8 years now. We knew that something was going on like this, but it's now been elucidated. And you can reduce those fatty acids, even if you're overweight, you can reduce those fatty acids in just a couple of days on a whole plant regimen. Are y'all with me on that? We see it all the time in our work, folks. Neva and I have conducted 54 six-day programs on our own property since I retired. And we have been involved in scores and scores and scores of them before when I was working for the church. We see it all the time. And their sugar, their blood sugar, starts becoming normal in just 2 or 3 days. On a whole plant regimen, which is low, especially in what? In fat. So those fatty acids, which are blocking the signal. It's astonishing, friends. Just astonishing. And I hope all of this encourages you. I don't want to discourage anybody. But that's the mechanism. It's amazing how well the body works when we treat it properly. So if the diabetic is willing to change lifestyle and what they eat and how it's prepared. And this is for the rest of us who are not diabetic. Are y'all with me on this? For what reason? Elevated insulin in the bloodstream, which is what's causing most of the dementia issues that we see in America today. Of course, you need to be active. You know that. The wonderful thing about it is, folks, you don't have to be huffing and puffing. Not only Weimar Institute, but there's good research behind this now. You can move as slowly as you want, as long as you go the... Just say it for me. As long as you go the distance. And the distance, if you're well, is about 4 miles. And you can do it in pieces. You can walk fast, that's fine. But you can stay perfectly well even if you walk slow. Are y'all with me? And you can do it in pieces. It's just amazing. And we see this in these live-in programs at Weimar and at our own home. So the target is activity. In fact, here's the thing. You can use any activity you want. Playing tennis, rowing a canoe, lifting weight, anything, as long as you burn about 400 calories a day with that activity. Or total. You do several things. That's enough to keep people well. When people come to Weimar that are sick, now sometimes they can't walk that far to begin with, but their target is to get them above that, maybe a couple of hundred calories a day or more if possible, if they're ill. But if you and I are well, which we mostly are, our target, look it up online if you don't want to run or walk or whatever, and find out how much energy you burn when you do whatever, right? And have a target for 400 calories a day. You know, build up gradually. Don't go out and be a champion and then get all sore and then you can't move, right? And it can be any activity. 4 miles is about 400 calories. Takes about 100 calories to walk a mile. Takes about 100 calories to run a mile. And you, like I say, you can look it up if you want for anything. And you can do it in pieces, as I said. Now, one closing thing and then I'll quit. Let's take this wonderful ear of corn and let's remove all the carbohydrate. I'm talking about the edible portion now, the kernels, all the protein. Let's take the protein all out. Let's take out all the vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals and all the fiber. And what would we have left? You'd have a little water. What you'd have left, folks, is oil. I tricked you. I didn't say take out the fat. Are y'all with me? Now, it will take about 12 ears of corn to make a tablespoon of corn oil. And my proposition with you is, you need that tablespoon of oil when you eat 12 ears of corn. You're supposed to laugh. Did I say you had to eat 12 ears of corn all at once? No. But do you get the point? God has put the fat in the plants that we need. And if we eat plants, we'll get all the fat we need, all the oil. And it will not be oxidized because we didn't take it out of the plant. The plant has chemistry that protects the plant oil from being oxidized. Y'all with me on the idea? And so that tablespoon is about 100 calories. Now, any kind of oil or lard, anything, it's all about 100 calories, plus or minus, we'll just say 100 because it's a really good figure. And here's a potato, a pretty big potato, about like that. You might serve that to people, you might cut it in half, but pretty big potato. Not huge, pretty big. How about 200 calories in that potato? And if you cut it up into thin slices, and bake it in some fat, you get one bag of potato chips, which has 1,000 calories. How many calories did I say came from the potato? 200. What does the back of the package tell you is in there? What's the first ingredient? They're listed by weight. Did you know that? What's the heaviest thing in that bag? Potato. What's the next heaviest thing? Oil. What's the next? Salt. That's it. And it tells you there's 1,000 calories in this big bag. And let's see. If the potato contributed 200 calories, how much does the salt contribute? Calories? Zero. So I didn't tell you this, did I? Yeah. Each tablespoon of oil is, did I say 100 calories? So there's 8 tablespoons of oil and 200 calories from a potato in that bag. Are you all with me on that? Okay. Now let's just see how much corn that is. I need 8 tablespoons of oil. How many ears of corn for each tablespoon? 12. And how many bunches of 12 do we need? 8 tablespoons of oil. Thank you, sweetheart. You came real close to the correct answer, dear. Good for you. So 8 times 14. Did I say 12 ears of corn? It's actually 14. I apologize for that. Is 112 ears. Now listen, folks. You need that 8 tablespoons of oil when you eat how much corn? 112 ears. This is the crazy thing that Americans are doing to ourselves, friends. By refining the food. Is that correct? Yeah. And it's killing us. You know that. It's killing us in various ways. Okay. We're going to quit now. Even though I desperately want to tell you about A1C. Neva, sweetheart, come up here and talk to the saints. I'm sorry, Chris. Go ahead. Well, you weren't here maybe, but it measures the average blood sugar for the last 3 months in your body. You're right. Absolutely right. Dear, what you going to do? You want to use the... Do you want to use the slides or just talk to them?
Oh, the slides.
You want to see the slides?
Yeah.
Okay. If I can make this thing work. I got to unplug it to make it... Maybe I can do it on the... Oh, it's too hard. Just give me a second to get the... Hold that for me, just for a second, dear, till I can get the other. There it is, right there, that one. And this is tofu walnut balls. Is that what you wanted to show?
Yes.
Okay, let's play it.
Do you need this?
In a second, I'll put it back so they can see it, but I couldn't run the computer when I couldn't see it because it'll cover that up. You'll have to look at the screen and... There we go. And you talk to him. Where's that mic? Can you all back there turn on that handheld mic? Let me mute this and see. Testing. Hello, test. Yeah, it's working.
Thank you.
And just advance it, dear, as you want. Talk to him.
Okay. Oh, I forgot. This isn't.
You can't see it. You got to look back there.
Look at the screen.
Yeah, there you go. That's the page in the cookbook that the recipe is on.
Yeah.
Tofu walnut balls. Go ahead, Darren.
All right. So I hope that we'll be getting these before Thursday.
Hold it up.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. They should have been here by now for sure. Go ahead, Darren.
So that's the thing that we want to show you tonight, because I just want to give you a good recipe that's easy to make. You blend up. Let's see, is this going to go by itself?
Yeah.
Blend up...
all these ingredients.
Well, first of all, blend up the tofu. You take a whole 16-ounce brick of tofu and put that in your blender along with some... I'm going to have to look at the recipe here. Oh, well, these items are there. You just put a little bit of water with it. I think it's about a half cup of water. It's on page 41 in here. And Just blend that smooth, and you can add 2 tablespoons of Bragg liquid aminos or soy sauce. It's a nice flavor, give it kind of a meaty taste. And you blend it till it's smooth.
Show them.
And so here's what it looks like after you've blended it. And then, meanwhile, you take a bowl and put all the dry ingredients, all the rest of the ingredients in there.
Is that cooked
and
rice?
The first ingredient that it says to put in there is 2 cups of breadcrumbs, 2 cups of soft breadcrumbs. And I have been lately using quinoa instead because there are some people that are sensitive to gluten, and most breadcrumbs are made with gluten. You could use gluten-free bread, but I started doing it this way, and I just use an equal amount of breadcrumbs, of quinoa, 2 cups of cooked quinoa. And you all know what quinoa is. It's a grain. Get it at a health food store. It's about half the size of a rice grain, just a little round nugget. And you cook that with water until it, you'll have to look it up and see how much water and so on. And so there, I've cooked some. You see the pot there. And
in the big bowl?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then all these other ingredients, which is Italian seasoning. It says veggie cell. It's something that is harder to find. Get that at a health food store. But lately I just use maybe just a little extra salt. Or you could use another kind of seasoned salt. And chicken seasoning. In the picture there, it shows 2 kinds. There's the McKay's chicken-like seasoning.
Here, you can point to it with, put the mouse on the book and move the mouse around. You can see it back there on the screen. Don't press the button, just move the mouse around.
Okay, I don't see the arrow
yet.
There we go. Okay, well, right here I have some McKay's chicken-like seasoning. It's just a yellow seasoning. You get that at a health food store. And then this one is another kind that you can buy from Trader Joe's if you have that store. Or you can just order these things online nowadays.
And speak up
there. Oatmeal and walnuts that you chop up fine. I think that's the... Oh, and this is flax. When I use the quinoa instead of breadcrumbs, I'll use about 1/4 cup of ground flax. But if you don't have that, it won't. It does make it a little more firm and not so likely to fall apart. Although these really firm up pretty good. The tofu is a really good binder, just like eggs in a recipe
so
like
dear,
this.
Use the arrow.
No, I think I...
Use the arrow.
Oh, okay.
So that's the mix?
All right, I mixed it all together now. And presto, here it is, all mixed. And I'm making it onto the cookie sheet. I use a nonstick liner on my cookie sheet. And then use a cookie scoop or an ice cream scoop. And scoop it out and put it on the sheet here. And you see that it holds its shape pretty well. If you get it too moist, they'll kind of droop, you know, and they'll be a little bit too wet and soggy inside, so you want to get them this firm.
Use the arrow.
Whoops.
And back up. Yeah. That's the last picture.
Okay. Well, somewhere I had a picture of them all baked.
Yeah.
But I think we didn't get that on here. Anyway, you bake them till they're just a nice golden brown. It takes about 30 minutes. And just eat them just like that. Or tonight, you're going to get 2. One that's round like this, and another one that's flattened out. And after they're baked, I smash them. And put them in you can put them in a nonstick frying pan and can make them get a little bit more crispy and nice. You can put them in the oven or an air fryer oven and make them crispy. We did it in the air fryer oven. So you can just have it two ways tonight. In fact, in the cookbook, there's a picture of them flattened out with a sweet and sour tomato sauce. I'm sorry. I'm kind of challenged with doing this. Well, I'm going to have a sauce that I'll demonstrate here, but what happened to it? Am I going the wrong way?
What did you call the sauce?
I'm not sure. That's
the butter.
Yeah, that's the butter.
So what happened to our...
We didn't stick the sauce in there to my recollection.
No, I don't. Anyway, I'm sorry, but there is a sweet and sour tomato sauce on the same page here. And then on the previous page, there's one called sweet tomato topping. It's a really simple one. And so that's the one that I made for you to taste tonight. And I used the little extra suggestion down there at the bottom of the page. It said you can use the ingredients in this recipe, which is crushed pineapple, tomato sauce, molasses, maple, and garlic powder. Or you can use just two ingredients, which is 2 cups of mild salsa and 1 cup of purchased sugarless grape jam. And that's the one that we did. Only when I went and tasted my mild salsa one, it was so hot, I couldn't bring myself to serve that to you.
So she threw it away.
To be mild. And I made another one using just tomato sauce. And so you'll have to see what you think of that. You can play around with that. But what I really like is lately I've been using apricot. Smucker's sugarless apricot jam is an even better flavor, I think. So if you remember to do that when you go to make these, they're really good that way. Or the other sauce that we always used when we had our restaurant in Seattle, we served these for our Sunday brunch, and we would serve them with a cream sauce made out of cashew nuts and a little bit of just cashew nuts and water blended together. That's supposed to be on here.
Well, I'm not sure, dear.
Well, okay, let me go in the right order here so that they're on. What I'm showing here is butter, and you're going to be tasting that tonight on a piece of bread. We have some Dave's Killer Bread out there, just so you can taste the butter, and you'll have that. But the way I make the butter is I use this, I use coconut milk and cornmeal, and 1 cup of coconut milk, and that recipe is in the cookbook on page 56.
Try backing up, dear. Try backing, no, with the arrow, and see what pictures are there. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought there were more pictures there.
So I put the 1 cup, or actually it's 3/4 cups. You'll have to look in the cookbook. 3/4 cups of coconut milk and 1/2 cup of water in a little saucepan and stir it and bring it to a boil, and it makes a thin cornmeal mush. And you pour that into the blender with 1/2 teaspoon of this butter-flavored salt called Flavacol. And you get that online, and if you don't have that, just use salt. You may not like the idea of Flavacol. It has a little bit of artificial ingredients in it, but it's just a very tiny amount.
It gives it a nice buttery flavor. Is what it is, butter flavoring.
When we were in the Caribbean doing classes, the ladies there told me as I was making this, "Oh, this is our
porridge,
cornmeal and coconut milk. They cook that together, and that's their breakfast staple every morning." And I'm blending it after it's cooked. You blend it and pour it into a container, and it makes just about this much, 1 cup. And it's quite liquidy, but when you pour it in here and put it in the refrigerator, it will set up. And so here's just an example of how liquidy it is when you pour it into a container. And if you look on my Facebook page, you'll see how to do it in 3 cups using a whole can of coconut milk. And a half can of water and a half tablespoon of that butter-flavored salt. And I put it in three jars of these little half-pint jars, boiling hot, and I've sterilized the jars and screw the little seal on there and it will seal. And that way you get three cups in one, in one effort. It's very simple to make. And I put my three jars, I keep them in the refrigerator up there on the door, and you know where butter belongs. Anyway, now tomorrow night we're going to have potato chips.
Okay.
And I don't know what happened to my cream sauce recipe. Do you know?
No.
Where'd
I
it
don't.
Go?
Is that it?
I'm going to find it.
Well, you just passed it up.
Nope, it's not here.
Okay.
We'll have to show it to you tomorrow. Anyway, it's in the cookbook, which you don't have. I'm so sorry. I hope you're going to have it by the end of the week, or you can order these online. Or the ABC has it. And
ABC is coming up here on the 30th of March.
Okay. And I guess there's a shipment coming here, and I don't know what's going to happen with that if it arrives after we leave. But anyway, it's time to go. I just wanted to encourage you to look on page 26 when you get this cookbook. There's a page here. All these recipes on this page give you really good information and recipes that will help you all the way through this book. The one recipe is the basic cream sauce. If you learn how to make that, which is very simple, there's so many recipes that you can use that in, and it's so delicious. Here's one right here, creamed asparagus. You make that cream sauce, or else you have the creamed vegetables. It was going to be creamed peas, but I decided I have some vegetables to use up, so I cut them up kind of fine and put them in the cream sauce.
For
you
tonight.
You can make a cream of
for tonight, dear?
Vegetable soup with it. Yeah, for tonight, you'll get the creamed vegetables.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry, whatever happened to our cream sauce recipes, right. But I think that's good enough. And I'm just going to show you that this is the Dave's Killer Bread. I think we all probably have had this. It's really good stuff. And or else use it on your own homemade bread or muffins or corn on the cob, as you saw on the screen. So let's
go
back there, and we'll give you a few samples to enjoy.
We're ready, they said. Just leave that down there. You got to put with it. Head back there and feed them.
Okay, well, it's all ready.
Or go back there and help them.
Tomorrow we're going to do those chips. What are you talking about tomorrow, Pastor Jim?
You'll have to come and find out.
I understand that Cornell University has designated the protein in dairy, which is casein, as a carcinogen.
There's no